Thank you for your patience in letting me get out here. I brought a guest tonight, and I went back to get him, but they brought him out for me. We've looked at, the Red Sea, when Egypt was after the Jews, and the Jews crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Gee, I should try that over again, huh? And then we looked at the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew men who would not bow to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And today is the third one. I titled this one, Dinner Will Be Served in the Den. Because King Darius, he threw Daniel in a lion's den. And this is the size of the lions when Daniel was thrown in. Don't we wish? I couldn't get a real lion to bring it in here, but I brought the best thing that I had. I want you to understand the story tonight, but I'm not just going to tell you a story about Daniel. I'm going to explain some things to you that God gave me, which made this story about one of his prophets come to life. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 9 through 23. Here is a man that is 80 years of age. He arrived in this foreign country when he was in his teens, 65 years ago. He's been serving in a government position. God has given this man, Daniel, favor his entire life. Daniel loved God, and he spoke with the Lord three times a day. That was his habit. He would kneel down, he would open the windows of his dwelling towards Jerusalem in the east, and he would pray to God three times a day. That was his habit. He needed God for all the responsibilities that he had. His heart is strong, his mind is clear, and his body is healthy. Spiritually, he is very healthy. Why? Because he stays in constant communication with the Lord. And this is my main emphasis tonight, to ask you if you are in constant communication with God. Do you speak to him? You don't have to have a degree to be a man or woman of prayer, because prayer is merely talking to God. But do not talk to God the way we talk to each other. Hey, bro, you know what happened, bro? He is God, and you don't have to impress him. Oh, celestial one who created the universe. He already knows all that. He created you. He knows you. He just wants you to talk to him. That's what he wants. God wants you to talk to him. Now, there should be a strong connection between the physical, the mental, and the spiritual in a person's life. Most of us, we take care of the physical by exercising in one form or another. We also take care of the mental by what we allow into our mind, by what we read and how we grow mentally. Some people do not develop themselves spiritually. And this would mean that you would have a 30% boredom factor in your life if you took care of the physical and the mental, but you didn't give as much attention to the spiritual. In Luke 2:52, the Bible says, "In Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man." So the same amount of time you spend working out should be the same amount of time you develop your mind and the same exact amount of time you develop yourself spiritually. We're looking then at a perfect square, not a rectangle. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept strong and blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again." You live in a body. You have a soul, but you are a spirit. When you die and leave this earth, you're not taking your body with you. You're taking your soul and your spirit. One way we will recognize each other when we arrive in heaven is we will maintain and keep our same personality. And that's something unique about God. When he allowed us to receive him as our Lord and Savior, he let us keep our personality. He didn't try to change us. But you and I are responsible to develop ourselves spiritually. Here's what happened in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 9 through 23. There were false accusations against Daniel. Lies. What's it like when people say things that aren't true about you? And now, today, they don't tell you to your face, they put it on the internet. They put it on all those other social media platforms, and it goes out to who knows how many people, but they never can pull it back. So once people say something about us that's not true, people just choose to believe it. And one thing that we don't do when somebody tells us something about someone that we're close to, we don't go and check with them, we just believe it. For example, if you heard something derogatory or negative that someone said about Pastor Mike, some of you people would just shake your head and say, well, I'm not going back to that church. But how many of you would come and ask Pastor Mike, is that true? And if it's not true, you don't have to start defending yourself. You just have to say that's not true. But it's out there now. And people choose to believe what people want to believe. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. So there were 120 leaders under Daniel. Daniel was the chief, and there were 120 what we would call today presidents that were under his authority. And they were probably jealous of his position, and they resented him because he believed in the living God. Just because we believe in the living God, it's not going to make us popular in this world. But that doesn't make us change, does it? It doesn't make us back up. People cannot tell you who to believe in. When my children were attending university, they told me that their professors were telling them not to believe in God. And I said, I want to go there and talk to the professor. No, Dad. Because I wanted to say, look, you choose to believe as you want to, but don't be telling my children or the rest of these students how to believe. If you don't want to believe in God, that's your choice. If they want to believe in God, what right do you have to tell them he's not real? Come on. So they found that Daniel, when they made these accusations against him, they found he was not corrupt. He was trustworthy and diligent in discharging his responsibilities. So they decided, these 120 leaders, that they would have to find some basis for accusation in his religious practices, which obviously were well known to them. In other words, they knew he believed in God, and that was going to be the only way to get him to lose the authority and the position he had. So the 122 leaders devised a plot. Daniel was certainly outnumbered, and they didn't tell him as the leader over them that they were doing this. They went to the king, to King Darius, and they suggested to the king that he, King Darius, be made the sole object of worship, the sole object of worship for 1 month, 30 days. In other words, they said, from this day for 30 more days, all prayer, which is exactly what Daniel was doing, all prayer was to be addressed to the king in recognition of his power in the religious realm. The penalty for rebelling against his religious authority was to be death by being thrown into a den of lions. Daniel didn't know this was going on, and yet he was over all these 120 people. They were jealous. Say that with me. Say it again. Sometimes when people who do not serve God see God's hand in your life, they can become jealous. And they become jealous. Well, why does everything go good for you? How come you never lose your job? Well, I want you to see this. Where there is an emotion of jealousy, often murder is not far behind. Because this is how Satan works. When there's jealousy, the devil's involved. People are jealous at what you have. They don't want you to have that. Adam and Eve lived in the perfect place. They lived in the perfect place, the Garden of Eden. Every day they had fellowship with God. Every day. They had the perfect marriage. There was no one else to be married to. They weren't created. He had the perfect wife. She had the perfect man. And then Satan shows up in the form of a snake. How many of you ladies ever dated a snake? And he says, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of the tree? So he begins to question God's authority over them. He made Eve believe that God had kept something from them. God gave them life. God put them in a garden. God had fellowship with them every single day. They had the perfect marriage. They were in love. And yet they felt God kept something from them. When you get that feeling, how come I'm not recognized? How come I keep getting passed up for this promotion? When John the Baptist was on this earth and he was baptizing people, when Jesus showed up, some of his disciples came to him, and the Pharisees did too, and they said, how come your disciples, John, are leaving you and going with Jesus? John's answer to them was this: a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. In other words, church, hear Pastor Mike on this. It's not necessary for you to struggle for anything. You don't have to claw to make it to the top. You don't have to scheme to make sure that you're recognized and you're not passed over for a promotion. If it's yours, God will give it to you. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from heaven with the Father of lights, with whom is no shadow of turning. If you're supposed to have it, God will give it to you. Okay, so if jealousy is creeping into you for whatever reason, no, it's not from God. It's from the devil. And sometimes people murder, and I'll show you how that's true in this story. Where there is an emotion of jealousy, murder is often not far behind, for this is how Satan works. But they had to realize something, that God is still in control. Let's give him a hand of praise. And here's what these men had Daniel do. They said, do not pray to your God. Pray only to me. That's the law that Darius the king signed. And they had a Medo-Persian, the Medes and the Persians, they had a Medo-Persian law that when the king signed something into law, it could not be backed up or backtracked. It could not be changed for 30 days. So Darius signed it into law, which according to the Medo-Persian custom was irrevocable. Daniel's prayer to God was first a prayer of thanksgiving, for he acknowledged God's goodness to him. And Daniel made no attempt to hide his devotion to or his dependence on God, even though it meant disobeying a governmental decree. Prior to catching him praying to his God, they investigated him. What would they find if they investigated you? In other words, someone says, oh, you're a Christian? If they conducted an investigation, would there be enough evidence to convict you? What we looked at then is Daniel's continued devotion to God. They investigated how he fulfilled his job duties. What kind of an employee was he? The accusers could not find anything wrong in the way he performed his responsibilities. Here's what I'm going to say now. Do not separate your business life from your spiritual life. I know you have to think about that, and I'm in no rush. I'm gonna let it sink in. Do not separate the fact that you're a Christian wherever you work. You don't stop being a Christian on your job and then become a Christian on Sunday morning. Do not separate your Christianity or your devotion from God. I have had individuals tell me that you cannot be a Christian and be successful in your workplace, and that you cannot keep high morals and do your job. You have to be able to lie and to drink and to entertain in order to get the business. That's not true. God owns everything. God owns the company where you work. Your supervisor has to answer to God. God says, I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. If I was hungry, would I come to you? No. Well, why do we have to give God our money? God doesn't need your money. We'll cover that in another sermon. So because Daniel was a man of prayer, he was not an alcoholic. He was not a drug addict. He was not hooked on pornography, illicit sex, or gambling. When it comes to serving Jesus Christ, he has to sit on the throne of your life. He is not just your Savior, he's your Lord. So there's no room for Jesus and. It's just Jesus. You've made him your Savior. Some of you have not made him the Lord of your life. And Lord, and I've taught you, that means he has full, final authority. So there's no room for Jesus and. Either someone said, God is my co-pilot. God is not your co-pilot. He's the pilot. You're the co-pilot. The reason you're not clapping is because you don't know what a co-pilot is. So would you go ahead and give God a hand of praise, please? So on the throne of your life, either Jesus is there or he's not. You can't take him down when you want to go back to drinking, go back to doing drugs, go back to looking at pornography. In your heart, it's either Jesus or pornography. And when people tell me, I need your help because I'm addicted, what you need is to let go of that. Just looking at a vessel, you cannot fill it with Jesus, pour him out, and then pour pornography in. So in other words, you cannot be a Christian and then go and do those things. And if you're addicted to any of those things, it's only because he's not at the throne in your heart. These things are. And as you see that they're called addictions, it's trying to pull you down. All you need to do is get it out of your life and put Jesus back in the center of your life and give him full authority. His accusers know he believes in God. He prays to God and he worships God. What do others know about you? His accusers know he believes in God, knows he prays to God, knows he worships God. What do others know about you? I used to, when I had the singles ministry, I would ask them, when your name is mentioned, what's the first thing people think of? And I'm asking you that tonight. When your name is mentioned, what's the first thing people think of? Either you are a child of God or you're wavering, you're not. Daniel is well aware of the king's signing of the decree. He knew that he was not supposed to pray to God, but just to the king for 30 days. So what does he do? He understands the consequences of breaking it. So what does he do? He goes to pray to God in his usual place at his usual time. Once you get in a habit of reading the word of God, once you get in a habit of praying at the right time to God, you don't have to break your habit no matter what happens. He's still God. He's still on the throne. Somebody give him a hand of praise. It's when we fluctuate and we can't make up our mind that we want to serve God or not. He has other options, like what? Well, I can wait 30 days without praying to God, or I can pray in a more private location. He's been praying to God for 80 years, probably less because he didn't as a baby, but he was taught this by his family. So he's been praying to God for at least 75 years, and he figures, well, come on. God can wait 30 days. Oh, really? Why don't you try saying that to your wife? Why don't you try saying that to your husband? Why don't you ignore your children for 30 days? Why do you not go to work for 30 days without calling in? But when it comes to God, why is it that we choose things on this earth instead of maintaining our relationship with Him? That's what's more important. And you're saying, Pastor, all this is in that story in the book of Daniel. We're only halfway through. So Daniel truly believes what he has been communicating to Nebuchadnezzar and to Belteshazzar. But what does he know? It's the title of this series. God is in control. Say that again. Say it again. So when you get tempted, you say to yourself, I don't need to do that because God is in control. So if, watch, they let you go from your employment, you don't burn rubber out of the parking lot. You don't kick over your desk. You don't slam the door. You walk out and you say, God is still in control. Okay? He owns this company. He wants to move me to one of his better companies. Calm down. But you won't be able to think that if you're not in communication with God, if you don't pray to Him, and if you don't read the Word. You get in a habit of reading God's Word, it's either going to be His Word that's on your mind or the temptations that they're trying to break through to get you to fall. And you can pick them up right away and know, that's a lie. That's not in God's Word. I don't need to accept that. They say birds may fly over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest and camp there. Just because you get a thought, you don't have to obey it. God's kingdom was a priority for Daniel. And if death is a result of his commitment, I didn't lose my train of thought. I just want to make sure you heard what I said. God's kingdom is a priority for Daniel. Excuse me. And if death is a result of my commitment to God, so be it. His accusers expertly pervert the truth. They had found nothing wicked or illicit for which they could accuse Daniel. So they manipulate the legal system to pass a binding righteous law. You know, this is not our home. We're pilgrims, you're right. We're passing through. We're on our way to heaven. Thank you. One person. Some of you don't know Pastor Mike. Maybe you're new here. And if you're afraid to clap, if I ever see you at a football game, baseball game, or basketball game, and you're standing up cheering, you're clapping, I'm going to call you a big hypocrite. If you come here, either you clap or you go. Wow, bro. Really, bro? Yeah. I mean, we're in church. This isn't a private audience in a theater where, bravo, bravo. You're not clapping for me. I don't need your clapping. You are clapping for truth that tells you about the living God. So clap, come on. Don't patty cake. I've taught you this before, so get to know Pastor Mike. And if somebody is new next to you, tell them, that's the pastor we know. So if I write this, I can't tell you how many times I've read it, prayed over it, read it again, prayed over it. I come here and I give you some powerful truth. What the heck happens to you when you're getting truth? You are in the house of God. I'm giving you truth so you can live for God. Come on. So when Daniel maintains his integrity and ignores the law put there by Darius, his accusers present him as a wicked person that is disloyal to the king. There's something wrong when prayer is regulated and pornography is protected. A man by the name of Don Ramby wrote that. There's something wrong when the school your children go to and your kids come home and say, they won't allow me to pray. There's something wrong, not that it's happening here, but when a city council says, we don't want you praying. There's something wrong when they try to close down your house of worship where you come to worship God. We live in America. We have been given freedom. A lot of us have fought for this freedom so that they can't stop us from worshiping God. God is here to be worshiped, church. And if you can come here and you have the freedom to worship him, if somebody next to you says, hey, don't clap, either move and tell them, well, go sit in the back. I came here to worship my God. All right, here we go. Daniel knew he had to obey God no matter what man might command or how much he might stand to lose personally by such actions. Just as the three Hebrew children would not disobey God in order to please a king, so Daniel purposely disobeyed a human law in order to maintain obedience to God. Four of you caught that. Later in the New Testament, Peter declared, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is found in Acts 5:29. We are always to obey the laws of our government unless they obviously conflict with something God has clearly commanded us to do in his word. In Daniel's case, it involved prayer. What we may be called upon to face in the future, no one knows. We need, however, to determine now to obey God if we would hope to stand when they tell you you can't obey God. You cannot stop me from obeying God. I don't know if you remember an evangelist by the name of R.W. Shambach. How many of you remember him? Okay, a few of us. He went to a county fair and they had a fortune teller there. And every day, he just stood in front of the fortune teller's tent. He didn't do anything. He didn't stop people from going in. He just stood there. She started to get very uneasy. In fact, she finally came out and she said to R.W. Shambach, the evangelist, I know who you are. And I'm going to kill you. And he said this to her. You can't kill me. She goes, why not? He goes, because I'm already dead. What do you mean you're already dead? And that's all he needed to be asked. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live in the name and in the fear of God. And it's not me who you fear, it's the God who lives inside of me. That's why you want to tell me I can't pray. Come on, church. Don't patty cake. I am a Christian. I'm not a Christian to make you happy or sad. My joy in serving God has nothing to do with your happiness. It has everything to do with who he is. So because he does this, he is thrown into the lion's den for praying to God. They threw him in. The Bible doesn't say he was screaming when they threw him in. The Bible doesn't say he was trying to climb out. The Bible doesn't say Daniel was begging, please don't throw me in there. They lowered him down with a rope. Do you know that lions are so strong, they can take your head off with just one swipe of a paw? And they didn't touch him. As he was thrown in to what seemed to be certain death, the king said to him, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And reluctantly, the king confined Daniel to the den of the hungry lions. But that night, Darius could not sleep. He was worried about Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said this to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? God knew Daniel was going to be cast in there, so he sent an angel to shut the mouth of the lions. One angel. I think he was the shortest and the youngest angel. He was shining the other angel's boots when God said, send for me that angel, the youngest one. I need him to go down there. The angel went in there. The lions looked at Daniel. They didn't even bother him. In fact, it is believed, and we can't prove it, that he just laid his head right here on the lion and went to sleep. They did not touch him because the lions could see the angel. I'll leave it at that. And I'll leave this to your imagination. Sometimes when you have problems, God sends angels to protect you, only you don't see them. What would you do if you saw an angel? So Daniel answered the king, and the king was exceeding glad for him, and he commanded that they take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. There was no manner of hurt found upon him because he believed in his God. Give God a hand of praise. Let me conclude with this. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel, how many were there? 120. 122. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, and they were thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. And before they even reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones and killed them. 122 men and their wives and their children. Why? Because of jealousy, Satan was behind this. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. He said, may you prosper greatly. And I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. And he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Can my God get a hand of praise here tonight? As Pastor Jeremy and the team comes to minister to us, I want to ask you one question. If in your life you're challenged by an addiction, you're challenged by a bad habit, you need to come to this altar tonight while they sing this song, and you need to make up your mind that I'm not doing this anymore. I am a child of the living God. I'm going to serve my God. So if you want to come up before they even start, what are you waiting for? Come on up. You may rise to your feet. Hopefully, it'll be tonight, not when you're forced to do it. Like when you've been in a car accident because you were drinking too much. Or when you're in jail because you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or somebody falsely accused you and now they're after you. They're coming after your family. Now, the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Those of you that came forward, I respect you tremendously. You came to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of you. But make sure that you recognize you're not doing it to Pastor Mike. I'm like you. In fact, I would much rather be standing right next to you looking up to God. I represent him, but I'm a poor representation of him. The one you really need is the Holy Spirit in your life. So I said in my sermon, there's not room enough for two, only one. And if you would make a decision tonight for the Holy Spirit to come into your heart
and give him sole authority, and he's the one you listen to, he's the one you worship, he's the one that you obey, your entire life will change. Everything that God has meant for you to have all along will be yours. I said you don't have to struggle. You don't have to claw. You don't have to scheme or deceive to get what God wants you to have. Make him the center of your life, and God will give you everything that you're supposed to have. Let's give him a hand of praise. And just so you know, Pastor Mike did not get angry when I walked down the aisle. Whoa, here he comes. All I want you to do is, when you come to church, act like you're in church, okay? I love you so much, and I appreciate you. Good night. God bless you.